Welcome to our site as today on this 10th day of May, 2020, we are celebrating Mother's Day. So here's a special little sermon for our mothers today. And by the way, thank you, mothers, for sharing Mother's Day on my 78th birthday. God bless you. I want to bring to you two Bible readings, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. Our Old Testament reading may be familiar to you. It's the end of the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 31, and from verse 10, the wife of noble character. But this wife, as we see as we read along, is of course a mother as well. A wife of noble character who can find? She is worth more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like a merchant ship's, bringing her food from far. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds the distaff, and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor, and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Then in the New Testament, I'd like to read to you from the Gospel according to John in chapter 4, where Jesus encounters a woman of Samaria. Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Just so far, and may God bless his word, and especially to the mothers today. Mothers, many years ago, I read a story that went something like this. Once upon a time, the most picturesque little town you ever dreamed of grew up in the lee of the mountains. The houses were so quaint with their painted shutters and pastel shades. The pavements were lined with well-manicured shrubs and elegant lamps. Scores of happy children played in the safety of the Central Park, and alongside the swans swam majestically on the clear waters of the Crystal Lake. Above the lake, millwheels turned on the river, supplying the townsfolk with clear, pure water that flowed down from the mountain streams high above. But the city council was a group of hard-boiled businessmen, and they scanned the civic budget and found on it the salary of the keeper of the springs. He was a hermit kind of man who lived way up in the mountain, and his task was to patrol the springs and clean out their bowls of silt and leaves and mud and slime, so that the water that trickled down, cascading joyously over the rocks and joining other little streams, eventually became a river of life to the little town below. Somebody in the town council said, "We don't need this romance ranger. We never see him. Why don't we build a cement reservoir and dispense with the hermit in the hills and save his salary?" And triumphantly they all agreed. So the reservoir was built, and the keeper of the springs no longer made his happy way around the mountains high above the town. But as the months went by and the water in the reservoir turned an ugly shade of green, the delicate machinery of the mill wheels kept clogging with leaves and slime. The water in the lake wasn't pure any more, and the swans found another home above the town. Little children no longer laughed and played in the park, because the clammy yellow fingers of sickness and disease took hold in many homes. Finally, the town council met again and acknowledged their mistake in dispensing with the keeper of the springs. So they sought him out in his hermit hut high in the hills and begged him to return to his former labor. Gladly he agreed and began to make his joyous rounds again, cleaning out the befouled basins of each mountain spring, the whereabouts of which only he knew. It wasn't long before the crystal-clear mountain stream combined once again to form a river of life and healing to the town. Millwheels turned as of old. New water in the lake replaced the old. Sickness waned and disappeared. Children played with delight in the park once again, and even the swans returned to their former and favorite home. Mothers, you are the keepers of the springs. To you God has entrusted the responsibility of tending life at its very source. Your task is often unseen and seldom applauded, but it is the most important task in the world. The hand that rocks the cradle ultimately rules the world. Today the world is reaping the awful consequences of untended and impure springs, from children who are murdered in the womb to children who are raised in an atmosphere of ungodliness and shame, children who have never had a Christian mother who gave them the security and training that every child needs. I believe that every mother listening to this sermon today wants to be a worthy keeper of the springs. So, mothers, why don't we visit one or two of them now? Bring your container and drink deeply. There's surely no more important spring in all the world than the spring of eternal salvation. The spring of eternal salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what Jesus spoke about to the woman of Samaria at Jacob's well. We read of this spring in the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 1 in the Old Testament. On that day, the prophet says, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. How wonderful that centuries before Jesus came, the Hebrew prophets were pointing to the cross, where the Savior of mankind opened a fountain for sin and uncleanness, where the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all unrighteousness. Isaiah the prophet cried out, "Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." To the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is speaking to you, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water." "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again," said Jesus, "but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." No wonder the hymn writer Augustus Toplady wrote, "Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Not the labours of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone, thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die." What a beautiful word to hear this morning from the hymn writer of old. Mothers, have you been to the spring of eternal salvation? Have you drunk of that water of everlasting life that only Jesus can bring? Have you merely had a taste of religion, or have you been to the cross of Jesus and found forgiveness and cleansing? Jesus is the only one who can satisfy the thirsty soul. Come to the waters and drink. We cannot impart that living water of salvation to our children, to our family, to our extended family, to our loved ones, to our friends, until we have personally drunk deeply ourselves by coming to Christ, entrusting our lives to him, being born again of the Spirit into his family, and drinking deeply day by day of the Word of God, prayer, fellowship with his people, feasting on the Word like manna from heaven, drinking from his Word like thirsty souls. Here's another spring you must constantly visit, mothers, the spring of Holy Spirit fullness. To those who will sincerely and wholeheartedly follow the Lord, the prophet Isaiah makes this promise: "You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail." Is that a picture of you today, mother? Jesus put it this way in John 7, 37 and 38. "If a person is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being there will flow streams of living water." The Apostle Paul issues the imperative to the Christians at Ephesus: "Be being filled with the Holy Spirit of God and controlled by him," addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all of your heart, always being thankful for all things to our Father. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, love your husbands as you submit to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as you submit to Christ. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Mothers, what example you have in the mother of John the Baptist. We read in Luke 1, verse 41, Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother-to-be, was filled with the Holy Spirit. A few verses later, Mary, the pregnant virgin, is filled with the Holy Spirit and praises God in the wonderful words of the Magnificat: "My soul praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Oh, how desperately this world needs mothers who are filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus. Let us never forget one of the reasons why Jesus turned out so well was that he was raised by a godly mother who was filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, won't you pray with me today, mothers? Holy Spirit, flow through me and make my life what it ought to be. Holy Spirit, flow through me. Why? Because the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Well, let's visit a third spring, mothers, the spring of a Christian home. It has been said only a Christian mother can turn a house into a Christian home. I think that's true. It doesn't have to be a mansion, doesn't have to be an expensive finish, all the latest gadgets and gimmicks. It doesn't have to be an upmarket suburb. Jesus' home was a very simple one. His parents were very poor by today's standards. But Mary, his mother, turned that humble dwelling into a home and had other children after Jesus was born, and they were provided with the most important things in life: time, love, security, praise, affirmation, prayer, the worship of God and the Word of God. At the age of 12, Jesus was able to take on Hebrew theologians at the temple. Where did that come from? I think, like Timothy, it came probably most of all from his mother. A mother's home, a mother's heart, a mother's personal relationship with God, a mother's training. Joseph and Mary raised kids God's way. They didn't shower them with things and money and stuff. They gave them quality time, and they were intentional about their parenting. They trained them up in the way of the Lord. I love the story that I read a while back about a teacher and her class of second graders. She gave them a lesson about the magnet and what it does. The next day, in a written test, she included this question: "My name has 6 letters. The first one is M. I pick things up. What am I?" When the test papers were turned in, the teacher was astonished to find that almost 50% of the students answered the question with the word mother. Yes, mothers do pick up things, but they are much more than magnets. Gathering up clothes and picking up toys around the house, as willing as many mothers are to do such chores, they have a higher calling than that, do they not? A good mother loves her family, provides an atmosphere where each member can find acceptance, security, understanding. She is there when the children need a listening ear, a comforting word, a warm hug, or a loving touch on a fevered brow. As for the Christian mother, her greatest joy is in teaching her children to trust and love Jesus as their Savior, and loving and honoring her husband. That kind of mother deserves to be honored, not just on this special day, but every day of the year. And that recognition should involve more than words. It ought to be shown in respect, thoughtfulness, and loving deeds. Of all the earthly things God gives, there's one above all others. It is the precious, priceless gift of loving Christian mothers. Godly mothers not only bring you up, they bring you to God. Mothers, we salute you. God bless you on this your special day, and every day, until we see the Lord Jesus face to face, are changed into his likeness, and are with him forever. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you today for mothers. Thank you for mothers who are close to us. Thank you for mothers who have left us an amazing legacy. And thank you, dear Lord, that today we can pray for the mothers of the world. And we ask that you would bless them. We pray that each one of them may drink deeply at the well of eternal salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that each of them may know what it is to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus and controlled by him. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that mothers will be blessed in their task of raising children, godly offspring. Lord, in this day when there's so much depravity, so much decay, so much societal difficulty, all around the world today, we just seem to discover through the news bulletins and all that we are given in information from so many nations, Lord. God, there is so much destitution, there is so much need. There are so many mothers today who are brokenhearted. There are mothers today who have suffered great loss. There are mothers today who are mourning. There are mothers today who perhaps don't even know where the next meal is going to come from. Mothers who are struggling to put food on the table. Dear God, we thank you today for mothers, and we thank you for the gift of motherhood. What a sacred high calling. And we want to pray for mothers today, and I pray especially for mothers listening to this little sermon today, that they may be encouraged, that they may be challenged, that they may be blessed in every part of their being. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the comfort and communion of the Holy Spirit be with our mothers and be with us all this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us.